The name of this message is Where's Your Heart? It's going to be in relating to the Word of God and Where's Your Heart in relating to hearing and seeing from God's perspective. And, you know, Jesus had this great big group of people, just a big multitude of people following him. And then he changes the whole tone of it, and he starts talking about, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you do this, you'll have no part of me. And it's like all these people are going, what are you, a cannibal? And they're all leaving. They're not getting it, because what Jesus says is really a spiritual stuff. He says, my words are spirit and they're life. He's speaking to something different. He's calling for something. Go ahead and tell the person next. Jesus is calling for the real you on the inside. He's calling for you. He's calling for you. And this was one of those moments. This was one of those moments. You'd think, you know, you think in the natural terms, you'd say, let's build this crowd up. Let's go ahead and build up this crowd. And Jesus is winnowing the crowd away. He's like, he's calling for something much deeper. And the Lord is doing that today. He's calling for disciples. He's calling for people to be sold out to him. He's calling for people to want him more than anything else. He's calling for people to prioritize a relationship with him above everything in the world. He's calling us to come out from under the sway and influence of the world and come into the place of his presence, walking with him, knowing his ways. It's really important to him. Do you think it's important to you? So go ahead and flip your page over on the back there. I have a few scriptures. Where's your heart? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The first word picture I want you to hear and see, look up here with me, please, is that God, you know, I want the breath. I want you to lay hand on the breath. How many of you had time where you're sitting with the book and suddenly the breath happens? And God, he breathed. You know, when God breathed, he got down on his hands and knees and breathed into that clay and made Adam. He breathed life into him and he woke. And then he died in sins by his disobedience. And all of us were born into darkness and fallen, and we're finite and we're just not there. And God comes and in the scriptures, he moves upon men and women of God with the Holy Spirit, and they write according to the Holy Spirit's unction, and they write these things down. Breath goes in. Over the years, it's the only book of its kind in the whole world. The theme is it is a phenomenal work, the nature of how God's put it together. And Jesus is almost on every single page. He's there. And the breath is there. And then we're fallen, and we need a place where we can have that breath happen back. Gideon's is a powerful ministry because people will be discouraged and open up the book with the breath in it in a hotel room all by themselves, turn off that crazy TV set and sit there, and the breath will come on them. And they begin to read, and the Lord will lead them. It's the book that has a personality. It talks to you. It's the personality with the breath in it. Just go ahead and in your heart say, I'm going to spend some time and receive the breath of life with the Word of God. I'm going to receive life-giving help from the Word of God. I want more of His life-giving Word in me. We talked on Friday about in prophetic ministry training. We talked about having one of the challenges was to have more time in His presence and more time in His Word. Why? Because when you store up the Word of God in you, the Holy Spirit comes to minister to somebody through you, and he just draws on all that you've stored up. I'll never forget that time. I was in this car. I had probably only known the Lord a year, you know. And I was sitting down with this in the car with this guy, and this guy had a hunger for God. And I started talking to him, and I had no idea I knew that but Scripture. It started flowing out of me, and I knew so much stuff. It was all stored up in my spirit. The Holy Spirit pulled all that stuff out. I was like, I want to take notes. I got, this is so good. I didn't know all these things connected like this. You know, this is amazing. Because the breath of life came, and it all began to come together and make sense. And there was just this flow, you know, the flow and the breath of life happening, and all the scripture had put in there. It makes you want to go read more, you know. And when you get disconnected from this and you start to go without the breath, you become more legalistic and more like that kind of person. Where you know the stuff, but you're not walking in the life of it. Is there anybody done that before? You just go, I know stuff, I can talk it, but I'm not living it and walking in the life of it. That's dangerous territory. Letter kills, spirit gives life, right? So we want to have life-giving words, love-filled words, understand. Amen? So first, everybody say breath. Let's look at the next scripture. It says, Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. This is the most amazing scripture. In addition to the breath, everybody say the sword. It's a sword. What's the most amazing thing about the sword is you got to get it out of the public. You got to get it away. Oh, you got to get that sword out of the public arena. Why? Because it pierces. It cuts through soul and spirit. You know the difference between joints and marrow? Marrow is where the life of the blood is produced, right? And your spirit, see, your spirit. How many of you have had a moment where you're reading and you... I recently had a moment. It wasn't a Twix deal either. It was. I had a moment where I'm sitting down and the Holy Spirit takes the sword. And it hits an area of pain in my soul and separates out the sense of what, you know, you can be cluttered up and confused about things. And then the sword comes. And when the sword pierces, you realize what's of God and what's of you. Have you ever been confused about that on occasion? And then the sword comes, and now the discernment between what's you and what's the Lord's way happens in you. And sometimes there's tears. Sometimes it's a gracious deliverance when the sword comes. It's a gracious deliverance. There's a liberty happens to you when the sword pierces and separates something out that you thought was life-giving to you, but some attitude that you got, and you just made up your mind it was going to be this way, and the Lord goes, no. You're going to submit that attitude to me. And the sword comes. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And you realize what I was wrapped up in versus what's life-giving. And the thoughts are revealed, and the intentions of the heart are revealed, and everything is laid. And you go, you know what, I need more of this, because there's great liberty when his sword comes. There's great liberty in my life. It may be painful, but the sword comes. It's great liberty. It puts to death something that I was giving place to. Is that right? So we need the sword. And I'm going to invite the sword of the Lord to come this morning. This is a kind of a... This could vary. I was thinking today, this message, there's five points. It would be like throwing a rock across the lake and it's skipping five times and then it hits the communion table on the other side of the lake. Because it's communion morning. But during one of them, there just might be the rock sink down and it's yours. It's your place. That's your point. That's the thing that the Lord says, this is where I'm going to deal with you. This is where it's going to plummet and go deeper. Okay? You guys open to that? Let's also look at the next scripture. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Isn't that the truth? They're folly to him. They mock and do all kinds of things. He is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things. He himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord is to instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. I want everybody to, when it comes to this, think of some spectacles, some glasses. That the spiritual man has God's glasses. He sees life and discerns things that other people don't. The natural man can't see it. But the spiritual man can see it. There's a lens. And I want you to see through this lens today how the Lord looks at you and how he wants you to assess your life. It's kind of an evaluation type of a message in a sense. It can be that. This can be a very foundational message. Someone who's just come into the Lord. It can be a refreshing message for someone who just needs to realize, hey, this is how God's wanting to speak to me. So let's go ahead and look at number one. Number one. The Lord wants to, he sees you as a sheep and a flock. So that's, but it's a sheep, number one, sheep, flock, shepherd. Sheep, flock, shepherd. And, you know, Jesus, he relates to us as sheep. He came for the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. When he saw the multitudes, he looked and his heart was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And Isaiah discloses to us that we, in Isaiah 53, all these verses are there. We, like sheep, have gone astray. So when you're thinking of sheep, think of people who have gone astray. Think of your story. Think of your story and how the shepherd came looking for you. Think of your background and how the shepherd came and sought you out. And it says, he, all of us have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. But what? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So now Jesus is not only the shepherd that seeks you out. He's the one that took all of your sin upon his own life. Because he became the Lamb of God and died for us in our place. And the thing about it is, sheep come into a flock. Isolation is a bad thing. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. Isn't that an insightful proverb? He who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. Proverbs 18:1, which is not in the verse. That's a free one. You've been a sheep before that's just sought your own way and fought your own way, right? We call those goats more often because they butt. But you can be a sheep and get off track. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. The Lord puts us in a flock. And one of the most, probably the weightiest concept that we've been given in the Scripture is Psalm 23. Because the Lord comes and He helps us by leading us. Let me just say this. When you're a sheep, you relate to the Word of God as, I want to graze. I want to be led places. How many of you have been led to just a wonderful time in the Word? The Lord says, it's a feeding time. I'm leading you beside green pastures and still waters. Would you just determine in your heart, I'm going to value the Lord's Word more now, these days, these winter days. I'm just going to dig in. He's going to lead me beside still waters. He's going to cause me to enter in. Would you do that if you haven't been lately? I want you to mark that today. Would you do that? Mark that in your heart, saying, you know what? Here's the other thing about it. This is such a remarkable, but not only does he do all that, he prepares this table, and that's what communion is about, for sheep. He says, I'm going to prepare you a table in the midst of your enemies. How many of you are so happy for that? I don't even get that. How there they are, there's enemies, and I'm eating. There they are, and here I am, in the midst of your enemies. Lord, the Lord knows how to cause you to be sustained in the midst of struggle. He's wonderful. The key thing about the sheep, too, in the New Testament is that you hear the voice of the Lord. That's the thing about the old days, you know, is like when the shepherds come around, you can have all these flocks out there all mixed together and say three or four shepherds, and the shepherds start calling, and all those sheep separate and come to their shepherd. Isn't that amazing? They know the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus knew that beautiful symbolism, and he's our shepherd, and we know his voice. In our training the other night, we said, look, ultimately, if somebody gives you a prophetic word, you're the judge of it, because if it's not love and it manipulates it, forget that stuff. That's nothing for you, because God's love. You're going to hear the voice of the one who loves you in it, if it's from God, right? The voice of the shepherd. So you move from straying to belonging to hearing. From straying to belonging to hearing. And you hear better when you're in the group. When you're attached. When you're walking along. You get to where you don't hear so well when you're detached. Isn't that true? But when you're in the rhythm with all and you come before the Lord and you worship, there's something about His voice that you begin to carry and walk in. And I want each of us to hear the whisper, the still small voice, the different ways the Lord communicates with us. Let's go to the next one. Number two, son, family, father. Jesus said it this way. He said, I will not leave you orphans. Isn't that wonderful? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. John 1:12 says, but all who did receive him, you know, John's talking in the front of the book there. He says, he came to his own received him not. But all who did receive him and believed on his name, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. When you receive the Lord, you get the right to be his kid. I heard that hallelujah. There's kind of a goof thing about all God's children, the people in the culture, you know, just treat all God's children. Well, they're all God's creation. I agree with that. But are they in the family? Because the family is a blood-bought situation. The family is a covenantal contract. The family is an adoption agency. The family has to do with, did you come through the purchase of the adoption papers in the Spirit and come to know the Lord? Because it says He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of adoption. The Spirit of God has adopted us into the family. And now, it's not that He's just God out there in the distance. It's not that. He's Abba, Daddy. He's Daddy God. As the sheep, the imagery there is to hear the shepherd's voice, to be a son. We move in sonship. Sonship has to do with maturity, with growing up, with representing the heart of the Father. Orphans are always fending on their own, right? Oh, it's all up to me. I got to do it all. And people come in here, and you could be coming to the table, and part of the Holy Spirit, what He wants to say to you is, you're really struggling because you don't understand that I love you, my son, my daughter. By the way, sonship is a title for women as well as for men, just like bride is a title for women as well as men, right? For men as well as women. So go ahead, Bishop. So I'm a son. I belong. And the spirit of adoption. See, He moves us from orphan to adoption to sonship. And the beauty of sonship is the conformity into the Christ in Christ's image, because He's the Son. You know, it's really interesting, but many, many, many are called Son of God, but only one is called the Son of Man. In the Hebrew culture, Son of God, I'm Son of God, you're Son of God. But there, Jesus showed up. Daniel defined the Son of Man. God came down in man's image and died for man, and now He will reign forever and ever. And He's the Son of Man. He has the mark on His body, and He's the Son that we come into relationship with. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord calls you out of your brokenness, out of your frailties, all those things that were orphan mindset and brokenness, all of that. And He says, you have no idea what you were in my eyes when I first thought of you. I'm still wrapping my head around that. I'm still getting there. Anybody else? There are capacities that if we will just show up, God will show up and do it, because we're sons in the faith. Will you get about the Father's business? Just show up. And then God says, I'm sure glad you did, because I got people I love. I figured God out on this thing. I figured Him out. God loves people so much. And He knows that I will say what He says. And if He just gets me around somebody, I love that guy so much. Roger's here. I'm just going to say something to Roger. Get him, talk to him. You've been like that too, haven't you? Well, the Lord loves people. Loves people. I could go on and on about it. Sitting on an airplane, sitting somewhere, standing in the dry cleaners, whatever. And the Lord just loves people. He loves people. See, everybody say, He loves people. He doesn't judge them like you and me. He loves people. He's not thinking like you and me. He loves people. And the Holy Spirit says, I sure want you to say something to this guy. Can we have a vision to be more than what we are? He wants you to be full. You know, here's the beautiful thing about it. When you say something the Lord put on your, you're as blessed as that person receiving. I remember in the dry cleaners that time, she doesn't work there anymore. And I was hoping for more, but I'm sitting there and suddenly I realized this. You were about 8 years old in your bedroom and you cried out to God and said, if you're real, show me. And she looked at me like stunned out of her mind. Oh my God, how did you know that? And I go, your Lord loves you. He just wants you. She's all shaken up, you know. I was thinking she'd probably, you know, turn from her. But, you know, people are wrapped up in stuff. She's living with somebody and all that stuff. But God knows. God, I love you. You remember when you called out to me? I'm telling this guy because I love you and I want you to come to me. And if you are a son and you know you're adopted and you're living in the Spirit and God's conforming you, just be available for that love, the love, the love. The love is all about the family. The love of God is in the family of God. He's the Father. He's the Father. For this reason, I bow my knees to God and Father. Father in heaven and earth. And then it just goes into Ephesians 3. All about that love. All about that height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God. To know the love of God, you know, to the incomprehensible love of God. To have that in your life. God loves people. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here today. I praise the Lord. I got three more to go. We can't spend all this time on all this, can we? Are you enjoying this?
Yeah.
I love you guys. I was one of my favorite scriptures down here. Isaiah 49:15-16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me." The Lord loves people, even when they're scarred and orphaned and thrown in a trash can. You might be the person that says, "Hey, guess what? You have worth." And then drink from that spirit that's in you. That's that unconditional love that God loved you to grow into His wholeness. Now you got this capacity to help somebody else receive it, right? We just had a Friday night, had a buddy here in the room filled with the Holy Spirit. That was fun. During the break, I said, "You want to be baptized in the Spirit?" He says, "Yep." For a quiet guy, I've never seen somebody pray in tongues so much, so quick, you know. But there's a capacity for the river of God's love to flow up out of us. And that's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you thirsty, and I will give you drink. And there will be rivers of living water springing up." And it's all about the love of God being cascading up out of your soul and saying something to someone that causes them to feel their worth in front of God. Let's go on to the next one. Number three, member, body, and head. Member, body, and head. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip. Everybody say equip. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, listen to this, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And the reason it says equip is because as members that are being brought into God's body, we're just not all there yet. And you need to be equipped. Is that right? And many have thought the word equip is to train. And there's some training involved. But most of the time, everybody say dysfunction. Most of the time. Have you, anybody ever been so full of yourself you just really, that you're just hard on everybody else, right? And you're full of yourself because there's a lot going on in there. And all the disappointments and all the things that have gone wrong. And you just don't really fit in right. And you blame everybody else for it because you had a tough life. And the Lord says, we're going to equip. We're going to remove the things that don't work right. We're going to work in your life, and we're going to help you. And next thing you know, it's like, I don't react like I used to. And you are the member. You become from dysfunctional to equipped. And suddenly, it's not so difficult to contribute anymore. You become a contributor. And you're fulfilled, and people are blessed by what you contribute. It could be a word, it could be your service and ministry, whatever it is. People are like, yeah, when they show up and do that, I just feel so secure because they're there. Right? We call them the pillars and the caterpillars. You know, the caterpillars crawl in and out every week. And the pillars hold the place up. And the quipping idea is that you turn the caterpillars into pillars. And they become what holds the place together. Right? I love this passage. It says, this is 1 Corinthians 12:12-17. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. He says, for in one spirit we're all baptized in one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves or free, this whole crowd here. All of them are made to drink in one spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. He goes on, if the ear says, I'm a ear, and then, see, everybody's different. If you look at some person next to you and say, you're very different. From me. There's all kinds of things that make you different. I'll kid around sometimes in the music. You'll say, tell John Stark, he's on the drums, said, I need you to play. It was funny one time. I said, I need you to play the bass. And he did. I was like, what the heck? I just pulled, picking. Oh, yeah. He does never play the bass. He did that night. And I said, play the key. You know, just not made to do that. You know, some people play them all. Some people play a little. I just play a little bit. I know what I am. I'm a poetic thumper. I can thump the music out and prop. Say stuff that rhymes, you know, and get theologically wound up, and it comes out all right. Hear from God and do it, right? And but I'm not—I don't have the capacity of my wife to put things in order, build systems, and all that kind of stuff. Just like, wow, my goodness, I didn't bring my water today because she didn't fix it, so I didn't bring it. I got here and I went, what happened to the water? Different parts of the body supply different things. Is that right? When you realize the value of the members in the body, when you realize that everybody's different and it's good, you celebrate variety. And guys, where we're going, I want to celebrate the variety of everybody and everything more and more and more. I want all kinds of things going on that affect the community in a positive way. Celebrate variety. Amen? As long as we're drinking out of Jesus' cup together. Just want to stop there and say, thank you, Lord. 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 By the way, guys, what this is an exhortation to is this. There'll be people that come in and they want to come and serve, but they're still not healed as much as they need to be. Graciousness, your kindness, your love, your concern, prayer, key thing. You know how many times I said, well, let's just pray for that person and allow the Lord to do a work. And He changes their heart. And they begin to seek out. People, when people are hurt, and they don't run right away because they've already been hurt. Depending on who hurt them, they're kind of shy about opening their heart to stuff. But we pray and allow time, and next thing you know, somebody's going, can you help me? Well, let's ask the Lord. And then God starts helping them, and it's great. Then they begin to contribute. It's awesome. True, isn't it? You have no idea how messed up I was. I remember Pastor Jack Hayford one time said, I couldn't talk to you about that because I felt it would be too bruising for you. And you don't have to broach every subject. If the person can't handle it, don't do it. But then I came along where he could say something. He says, the weight of my authority, if I would have said that to you, it would have been more damaging to you. So I didn't say anything. I just prayed for you. So that's good. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Let God do the work. Hey, the bigger concept you have of God and how almighty He is, the less you realize you got to do. You could just ask Him to get involved and put confidence in Him, right? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead, number four. Soldier, army, Lord of hosts. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4 says, Share in suffering as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one that who enlisted him. When it comes to your perspective, by the way, look, let me just say, the Lord looks down and He sees you as a sheep. And He wants to whisper in you and bring you along. He sees you as a son. He wants to develop you and mature you. He sees you as a member. He wants you functioning in the fullness of your uniqueness to contribute. He looks down and He sees you as one who may be not winning in life. Or could even be AWOL. And what's interesting is that the sheep is looking for hearing the voice. The son is looking for how to grow up and mature in Christ. The member wants to make the contribution and looks to the Word for that. But you know, the soldier looks for the trigger. How do you shoot this thing? Is that right? How can I win? How can I overcome? And God says, I'm going to help you overcome. You're going to come from losing to discipline to winning. And you learn that there's this authority that comes to those who are in submission to authority. And you find out that the name of Jesus, that's part of the bullets in the thing. And you come in the name. You don't have to be old or young in the Lord. You say, in the name of Jesus, Jesus! And you call out and you learn the power of the blood of Jesus. That's another one of the... You're just really hurting and you realize there's a depth of forgiveness and say, Lord, let your forgiveness flow to me and through me. And there's this power and you're not hung up anymore. The promises of God are all based on the covenant. Did you realize there's not one promise given outside of Jesus Christ? Not one. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's all a covenantal thing. It's a covenantal book. Says, I've come and you have all these promises. You can come to Him and submit, and He'll empower it. That's the thing about when He's promised something, He gives the power to make it happen. It's an amazing thing. Walk in the Spirit. He gives the power to do it. He gives the Holy Spirit, right? Hello? How many of you have had to cast down some high things in your mind? And it says, for we have this weapons that are not carnal, not of the flesh, but mighty to the pulling down strongholds and casting arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I've had to learn that because as a soldier, you have to learn that it's a spirit realm and that you have authority in the realm of the spirit. And you can move from... You. By the way, sometimes the Lord just comes along and says, you really are... Don't realize I've already won that. And your faith level is all on you like an orphan and you're just really a bad soldier because you don't take any of the equipping that I've given you and use it. How many of you need to be told... Reminded. Reign in life. Overcome. Man, I got to get moving here. The reason that this whole thing started is this one. Number five. Bride, wedding, bridegroom. For as a young man marries a young woman... So shall your sons marry you, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Revelation 19, 7 through 9 says this, let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. I want you to repeat this line with me. And the bride has made herself ready. She's made herself ready. The whole thing happened when I was sitting there and the Lord said, I'm looking to come from a bride. And a whole bunch of affection went through me. And the bride's different because the bride looks at the whole Bible as a big love letter. Different. It has to do with I was lonely, but I made a commitment, and now I'm preparing. And I belong to one whose words cleanse me. And he speaks these words. It says, husbands, love your wives. But Christ loved the church and washes her with the speaking of his word and cleanses her and purifies her so she's without spot or wrinkle. And that's why we come to listen to this. It is granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. Pure. And for the linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hey, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I got an invitation. You have an invitation. The dynamic power that's in communion today, we're going to be eating a whole lot more than a little cracker and a little cup. Maybe there was somewhere along the way right here that something sunk down in your heart and you said, you know what, maybe I've been straying, maybe I've been acting like an orphan, maybe I've been dysfunctional, maybe I've been, I don't know, just lonely, somehow disconnected. That's you just coming before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to partake of you. I want to get back on track, right? Because the Lord wants you in the fullness of His love. He wants you winning in life. Maybe you've been losing. The Lord says, I'm going to equip you with authority right now. I just said that word and something jumped in my spirit. Okay, guys. Oh. Whoever you are, and you have lost the sense of your authority in the Lord. The Lord wants to restore it to you today. Sometimes we lose authority because of something stupid we've done. And we're here today to restore authority by letting Him wash away whatever it was. If it's a point of disobedience, the Lord's saying, bring it to me. I'm going to restore authority to you today. Hallelujah. Because you're designed by Him to win. Man, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I don't know if you feel it, but I do. Let's say everybody say, I receive your authority, Lord. Jesus came and gave authority. The Father gave authority for Jesus to become our sin for us and break the power of sin over us and to give us the ability to rise up and not live in it. It's authority. And He says, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, all the power of the enemy, nothing by any means harm you. You're going to be fine. Somebody needs to hear that today. You might be where you need to go in a room in your house and just shout Jesus' name and declare the blood of the Lamb and go in there as a good soldier and say, I'm taking back authority. I get a little excited about this because sometimes you just need to be stirred to act and do something other than take it and sit down and let hell just run over you all the time. Shake it off. Shake off the shame. Shake off the whatever it is. Shake off the discouragement. Whatever it is. I don't know everything, but I know there are things that come. And the Lord, you know, the other thing, that the Lord may just take the word right now and like a pierce it to a place and say, I'm going to separate you out right there where you haven't been flowing in all that I have for you. And this is the point right here. And the Lord says, I want to cut right into that where your self life has had way too much activity and dominating you, and I want to separate it out so you can submit to the Spirit of God freshly. Does anybody have a sense I'm prophetically speaking in the room? The Lord says, I want to take the sword. I can tell, I know when a message is going to be good is when it's so hard that you feel like I don't have anything when I show up at church. Usually that's what happens. You got nothing, you got nothing, you got nothing, you got nothing. That's what the devil does to me. You got nothing, there's no message here. And then you get into it and the Lord says, okay, here it goes. I'm going to release the sword in the room. I'm going to set my take you to a new level of maturity and authority. Guys, let the Lord get in there and deal with what's going on in your mind. Let the Lord in. If you've been straying, if you've been orphaned, if you've been lonely, if you've been all that losing and all that, step in and say, Lord, the Lord looks at you as His soldier, His sheep who hears Him, His son who desires Him and is living in the fullness of Abba Daddy, and the bride who loves Him and preparing for His return. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Let's pray. Just offer up in a like a holy murmur of gratitude. Flood the room right now, right before we partake here. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you lift the bread before the Lord? Father, we thank You and receive authority today. We receive the authority today. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and we've been guaranteed eternal authority in Christ Jesus for overcoming. We receive it today. We receive it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's partake together. We receive it today. Would you hold up the victor's cup? The victor's cup. Given to those who have won a victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, a victory. A moment ago, something was there. A moment after, something's gone. It's a victory. This is the victor's cup. Hallelujah. For the Lord looks upon all of our hearts. He knows everything that's going on inside of everybody. He knows what you have need of before you ask. And He says, I have provided your victory for you. I want to invite you to release faith from your heart over your present situation right now and just thank Him in advance. Say, Lord, I thank You for the victor's cup that causes me to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Nothing can keep me from the fullness and the manifestation of Your love in this area that I'm trusting in You in my life right now. I trust You to go and do what I can't do because I'm coming to You as the victor. We've overcome what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We bring the cup representing the blood of the Lamb and we declare the word of our testimony as we are victors in Christ Jesus. In this, some of you are claiming the relationships restored. Some of you are claiming kids coming to the Lord. Some of you are claiming provision. Let's go ahead and just thank the Lord right now. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. So, Lord, as we take Your cup, we thank You for forgiveness of all of our failures and the empowerment to forgive anybody who's failed us. And we thank You, Lord, for the accomplishing of victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I said, Amen.